I'm glad to be here with you tonight to share in the preaching of the gospel and in opening for our brother O'Hare. I count it a privilege. I want to read, first of all, from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. We're going to read at verse 1. Matthew 25 and verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. I want you to remember that. They went forth to meet the bridegroom. Verse 2, and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Point number 2, the bridegroom tarried. Verse 6, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Number 3, the bridegroom cometh. Verse 7, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Number 4, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Now it's just those 4 simple points that I'd like you to remember, especially if you're not saved. That is, if you do not have a definite time in your life that you can look to as a time when you accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I want you to remember these 4 things. First of all, there's a meeting of the bridegroom. Secondly, we read that the bridegroom tarried. Number 3, we read the bridegroom cometh, the cry was made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And lastly, the bridegroom came. Now, I want you to get the picture of what a wedding was like, or this wedding was like, because it was a little different from what we're used to in our traditional weddings. The picture is of a man who has promised himself to a bride, to a young woman, and they're going to be married. That's sealed. It's not going to be a broken engagement. They are definitely going to be married. And the custom was, he leaves the place where she lives and leaves his word that I'll come again for you. I'm going to prepare a place, and usually it was a room prepared onto his own father's house, or on his own father's property. He would build his own house. And so the news would spread quickly throughout the town that on such and such a time, or as soon as the house is prepared, or when everything is done, the bridegroom is coming. And the whole town was invited, and all those that were invited, rather, would be preparing. Now, they were preparing for one day. A time was coming when the bridegroom was going to return. So everything that they did, all that occupied their time and their thoughts, was done with one thing in view, the meeting of the bridegroom. I want to apply that to you and I today, because we are living in a day of anticipation. This whole world is anticipating something. They don't know what, But everybody, deep down inside, is waiting for something to happen. You'll hear people talk about it. It can't go on like this. Ever hear that? It can't go on like this. It, you know, where's it all gonna, it just can't keep going. And there's fears of nuclear trouble, and especially with the thing that just happened. Yeah, there's all kinds of talk, and anticipation is in the air. Something is going to happen. Well, the truth of it is, something is going to happen. The bridegroom is coming. The Lord Jesus himself is coming again. And he's coming for those that are his, for those that are ready to meet the bridegroom. I want you to notice this one simple thing here. This whole account that is given is taken up with this one thing. There were those that prepared for that meeting, and there were those that didn't. I'm not too much to remember meeting for the children. Right? There were those that prepared, and there were those that didn't. Now, those that prepared took heed and listened to the warning of the message. The bridegroom is coming. And everything they occupied themselves with was in anticipation of his coming. Now, as youngsters, we're sent off to school. And we're told, you're going to school to prepare for this world. You can't get a job, you won't be able to support yourself, you won't be able to live, you've got to have education so you can do it. And so we endure 12, 15, 16 years of school so that we're prepared just for this life. And we're taught that, and we do that. And children from the earliest age accept that. And it's a way of life in North America that we know that in order to be able to meet the demands of life, there must be preparation. Now, the same thing is true. In order to be ready to meet eternity, in order to be ready for the great beyond that waits each one of us, you and I, there must be preparation. These people, some of them were wise. They all heard the message, the bridegroom is coming, you must be prepared. And so, all that they set their time about to do, all that they went about, all their direction, their priorities, everything was set in accordance with one thing, the meeting of the bridegroom. Now, I'm going to stress how important that is, because for some of you, you've let a good deal of your life slip by, and you have taken very little or no thought to the meeting of the bridegroom. And it's going to take place. He is coming. This world doesn't believe it. Many people don't believe it. And people can't figure out how it's going to happen. But soon and very soon, the bridegroom is going to step from heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he's going to come to the air with a shout. And all those that have prepared for that meeting will meet him. And the rest won't. Now I'm going to ask you a very pointed question. What have you done to prepare for that meeting? What have you done to prepare to meet Jesus Christ? Nobody is going to slip into that meeting. Nobody's just going to all of a sudden shake their head and wake up and blink and they're going to be there. Nobody. The only people that will be at that meeting are those who prepared to be there. That's why there's gospel meetings here every Sunday night. That's why there's teachers that take time with some of you that are younger in Sunday school. Because everything else will fall away into nothing and insignificant at the meeting of the bridegroom. The most important thing in your life is to prepare for the meeting of the bridegroom. But I'll tell you what the trouble is. The bridegroom tarried. Now, if you lived in that town where Sarah Jane was going to get married, we'll call her that, and the bridegroom had gone away, and he says, I'm coming. As soon as things are ready, I'm coming back again, and the marriage is going to take place, excitement would run kind of high at first. But what would it be like a week later? What would it be like a month later? 6 months later when he didn't return? You know,
business as usual.
Everybody would be back about their own business. A few people now, a few. The bride herself, her immediate family, some of her nearest and dearest friends that were still involved and all, they'd still have the hope. They'd still be excited. They'd still be preparing. And all those that truly believed his message would be still anticipating his coming. But everybody else would forget about it. You see, there's a terrible, terrible thing going on today. The Lord Jesus left not 6 months ago, and not 10 years ago, but close on 2,000 years ago. It's a long time, isn't it? But he did say, I will return. And people have been lulled back to sleep. They've forgotten all about it. Oh, yes, we hear about the Lord's return. And you hear it preached, but the reality of it doesn't get a hold of us. It's not like we know he's coming tonight. Right? Is it? Oh, yes, yes. You know, you're preaching on the Lord's coming. And so there's a false sense of security. He hasn't come yet. This is the way I thought before I was saved. I've heard about his coming all my life, 16 years. He hasn't come yet. Other people have heard about it all their lives. They've grown up. They're a lot older than I am. And he still hasn't come. I've just as good a chance as the rest of them. And I wasn't too concerned about his coming. You notice what we read? While the bridegroom tarried, they went to sleep. Now it's our business as preachers of the gospel to wake you up. That's our hardest work. It's to try and wake you up because he is coming. And you've misinterpreted the tarrying of the bridegroom as he's not coming. What the Bible says, people have said, oh, well, where's the promise of his coming? He hasn't returned. When I saw him there, I was driving down the highway, and it was traffic time, and it was stop and go, stop and go. And the car ahead of me, you know what the license plate said on it? Wait, J.C. Mocking the fact that Jesus Christ hasn't returned yet. Late Jesus Christ. Where is the promise of his coming? Slumbering, sleeping, mocking, he's not coming again. He hasn't come.
They don't realize that he's long suffering, not willing that you perish in your sins. And the longer he tarries, the more opportunity you have of trusting Christ.
But he is coming. Now, while he tarried, they should have been prepared. While he held back his coming, and I would take it from this that he held back purposely. Held back his coming. He purposely tarried. But they purposely went to sleep. Ready for another question?
Have you gone to sleep? You're the only one that can answer that.
Have you just laid back and said, well,
I'm not going to worry my head off now?
Because you can act like you're right away. You can go about your daily business. You can do everything that you're supposed to do. You can even sit up in a gospel meeting like you're really listening and concerned. You can act like you're wide awake and really be mentally and spiritually asleep. Not interested. Not awake to the reality that Jesus Christ is coming. And you think in your mind, because he hasn't come yet, he's not coming. And you think, well, it's been preached for years, and it's one of those things that you'll never really know about until after we die.
They should have been out buying the oil, as we found out later on, if you will.
Because the time came when he finally came. And then those that were asleep, then those that while he wasn't coming, were scurrying about trying to prepare. And it was great. But you see, God has given you this day of grace. This time now, that while he tarries, purposely holding back his coming, while he tarries, you might grasp at the opportunity to be saved. You know, a lot of times people sit in gospel meetings and they see others get saved, friends get saved, and they don't. And the question often comes up, why do some get saved and some don't get saved? Sit under the same preaching, probably even related, brothers, sisters. I sat in the same row, second row here, on the left-hand side in the back of the hall, and every single one of the boys in that row got saved. But me. We're all sitting in the same bench. We're all sitting in the same meetings. We're all hearing the same gospel. Why did some get saved and some didn't? I'll tell you why. Very simply, some are earnest and honest, and some are not. Now, God saves sinners that for the first time are honest with themselves. Now, if you're ever going to be saved, you're going to have to face yourself and God honestly and believe what God says about you and about His Son. And secondly, if you're ever going to be saved, you're going to have to be in earnest. Jesus said it like this, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, they'll come right to the door. They'll knock. They'll say like these said, Lord, Lord. And yet the door will be shut. And they'll never enter in. There must be an all-out effort on your part for God's salvation. Now, not that there's anything you can do for it, because the good news of the gospel is that the work has all been done. Christ has died for our sins. You know it as well as I do. I don't say there's hardly anyone here that doesn't know the gospel story, how that Christ died for our sins on the cross of Calvary, how He bore all our sins and suffered our punishment and took our judgment and became our substitute. And through simple faith, by trusting Him as your Savior, He's done the work. You've heard the good news that Christ cried, it is finished. There's absolutely nothing left. Well, what do you mean, strive to enter in? It means simply in the way of salvation. Go after the opportunities. Don't avoid them. Put yourself in the way of God's salvation. Don't avoid the issue. Bring the issue up. Don't shirk off when you do have the opportunity. Don't put it to one side. Take them as they come. That's earnest. That's being in a hurry to be saved. But here were the people, and they slumbered and they slept. While the bridegroom tarried. But then there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. I hope you take to the warning tonight, because that's what that cry was. It was one more fast warning cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Can you imagine the impact that had on those people? I can see half of them, 50% of the people. That's what's totally told here. Five were wise and five were foolish. Half of them that had heard the message, that were asleep, half of the ones that were asleep, woke up, brushed themselves, tried to rub the sleep out of their eyes, tried to wake up to the reality of the thing, and they're, you know, you can imagine the picture, can't you? They just, well, I didn't think, well, not right now. We're not quick. You got to hold it.
It's just what you're going to do. You put it up.
If you don't make one all-out effort while you've got time, everything's going to hit you all at once. The cry is going to be made by you. The Christians are gone. They're gone to meet the Lord. And, I didn't prepare to be left behind. I didn't really want this. I didn't intend this. I sat down in a little restaurant about a month ago with a 20-year-old Christian child raised under the sound of the gospel. Sat in gospel meetings and left. Wanting to be saved, took off, went along the way. We sat down in the restaurant and I said, calling my name Cindy, you didn't spend these days. I said, what are you, crazy? Do you think I want to get help?
Well, I said, yeah, I did.
By the way you're living.
Yes, you can have that. I said, you take the words from me? See?
Yes, you can have
that. I said, when do you plan on doing this?
I don't know. But I plan on doing this.
Now, I would say that she spoke about what each one of you here tonight was raised in this book. Now, I would say that she spoke about what each one of you here tonight was raised in this place would say. Right? You don't intend to miss the Lord's coming. You don't intend to not be saved. You have every intention of trusting Christ sometime. But listen, unless you wake up to the reality, I've got to do something about this now. You're going to wake up too late. The bridegroom is going to come. The cry is going to be made. The warning will go unheeded, and you won't be ready. And you're going to find yourself scurrying about at the last minute, looking for something that's real, looking for something that you can take hold of. And you'll find nothing. Because the solemn reality is, the bridegroom came. I can remember one thing from my childhood that even yet, I can almost feel the panic and the fear that gripped me. I would say only twice in my life have I felt real, genuine panic and fear. Once, when the little girl of mine almost died, and I was standing there and I was totally helpless, nothing I could do. I could feel my throat closing in panic and fear. The other time was when I was about 8 years old, and I got lost in a mall. That wasn't so bad. But when the announcement was made for my parents to come and pick me up, and they didn't show up, I was only there with my father. My mother was home. And he never showed up for about 20 minutes. Finally, they asked me what was my home number, and I told them my phone number. And when nobody answered the phone, they didn't know what to do. It hit me. He's come. And it's all over. And I knew what real panic was. In fact, my father could hardly calm me down when he finally found me, when he came. He couldn't figure out what was wrong. I was still where there was people. I wasn't really lost. And it wasn't until after I got saved that I told him that I thought it was all over. The Lord Jesus had come. You know, one of these days, that's going to be a reality. That's written in the past tense. The bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in. Oh, I'm glad there are going to be some that are ready. I'm ready. Are you? That's the question tonight. Are you ready? Because he's coming. And if you haven't trusted him as your Savior, you're not ready. The best advice I could give you, the best thing I could do tonight would be to urge you. Don't put the matter off. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ, or you'll not be ready. And you'll not be ready.